looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, Maz, how do you like the Red Sox now, Maz? How do you like them now?
How you Yankees doing, Maz?
Yeah, you Yankee lover. How do you like them now, Maz?
What do you think of Aaron Boone, Maz?
You still think the Yankees are that good, Maz? You still think they are?
What's Giancarlo doing, Maz?
Okay, so here's what I would tell you. Before we start bringing you back to reality, years ago when I was covering baseball, and people said to me, what's the best part of covering baseball? And I said, you know what? There's a game every day. So you don't have to make stuff up between games. There's always a game to write about. There's something new. So the best part about covering baseball is that there's a game every day. They said, what's the worst part? I said, there's a game every day. There are no days off. You just keep going and going and going. And whatever happened the day before doesn't really matter the next day because there's another game to play. So in some ways, they're connected. But the reality is that come 7 o'clock the next night, you hit the reset button, you start all over again. So you have about an hour left to enjoy that game last night if you're a Red Sox fan. And in all honesty, and I'm being a little bit of a wise ass, but in all honesty, you should enjoy it. It's a good win. Red Sox fell behind early. They rally, look like, because on the way home, I heard the home run by Gregorius. And I went, oh, God, here we go. Here we go. Because contrary to what a lot of you believe, I don't root against the Red Sox. Okay? I don't. It's better for me if they win. And so I want them to be good. In fact, I want them to be great. From a talk radio standpoint, it helps if they have flaws. But nonetheless, overall, it's better to me if they're good. But unfortunately, I look at them in the big picture and I say they're having a hell of a regular season. I don't know how it translates in October. But last night, boy, there was some inspiring play on that field last night if you're a Red Sox fan. So I'll tell you what, here's what we're going to do. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, put together a little montage of that fourth inning. And boy, how many elements in that fourth inning? Doubles to the gap, stolen bases, home runs, bad defense on the part of the other team. When you add it all up, the Red Sox did everything right. The Yankees did everything wrong. And it sounded like this.
3-1 coming. And he walked him. And Jackie Bradley on to lead off the inning. Mookie Betts has a double, and the Sox are in business. Comebacker. Bradley caught. Now he's racing home to throw the tag. He's safe. He got in there.
That is so athletic, that play right there.
Let's see if Benintendi keeps pressure on by stealing second base.
There he goes. Here's the throw. He stole him line. Betts holding it third. It's a high. Second of the ball game, totally out of Fenway. On a warning track by Martinez to second base, a walk-in double. Look to right, stands throwing, not a good one. Another run home. Here one goes. Here's the throw. He dives in. He's safe. The look on the face of Romine when he took his mask, didn't it say it all?
It did.
It was like, oh man, this is. It's only the fourth inning.
There's nobody out.
Gardner with a long run. He's not going to get it. It's out of the track. Another run is in. Kinsler will score standing up. A double for Nunez. So Bradley batting for the second time here in the fourth. One of the Red Sox leading by four. And he tags that one. Deep to left center. Off the wall. Nunez and Bradley having a tremendous inning. Second hit of the inning for Mookie Betts. And on it goes. First and third. And there's a shot fair inside the line. Another run is in to score. Mookie Betts to third, looking over his shoulder. It's an RBI single for Benintendi. And the Red Sox hit double figures. That was an amazing half hour at the plate for the Boston Red Sox.
Chain reaction is what it was last night at Fenway Park. Chain reaction. One hit after the next, one steal after the next. The Yankees completely spinning around, dizzy, clueless, all of it, starting with that guy, Jonathan Holder, whatever his name is, on the mound. Talk about someone who needed to be carried off the field after the beating he took. Jonathan Holder, Red Sox going to beat the Yankees 15-7, now 6.5 ahead in the division, and you should feel good about that. If they win two more, the division will be over on Monday. I mean, I really believe that. Mathematically, it's not. I just don't know how the Yankees are going to catch them. Not with the Yankees playing the way they are. And the Yankees are going to make the playoffs. And the Red Sox are obviously going to make the playoffs. And I'm not going to predict to you what happens in October. But if the Red Sox win two out of three here this weekend, to me, effectively, the American League East will be over. 7.5 game lead for the Red Sox. They will have 49 to play. The Yankees, I think, will have 52 to play, 53 to play.
52.
Okay, it doesn't matter because I just don't think New York's going to be able to catch Boston with a league that big. Not a team that's played 700 baseball all year. So I think the Red Sox are going to win the division. Matt McCarthy's alongside, just quickly, you said this at the beginning of the Felger and Maz show today, with regard to the Yankees. What's your takeaway from the Yankee standpoint in this series?
They're in deep trouble. They're 100% in deep trouble. Their starting pitching isn't good enough. They didn't address it well enough at the deadline. Happ and Lynn, I mean, give me a break with that. Their manager can't get that team to play the brand of baseball that they need to win. They've got problems with Judge. He's hurt. Sanchez, that whole saga last week, they've played awful baseball ever since the All-Star break. That's not good enough to catch the Red Sox. You know, honestly, Maz, even if they split this series, I think the Yankees are done and out in the division. If the Red Sox win this series or, God forbid, even sweep it, forget about it. Yankees are done in this division. Maybe they're better built for the playoffs if they get there, if they get past that wild card game. Right now, though, Maz, they're not catching them. They're not good enough to catch them.
Okay, see, I don't think a Red Sox split buries the Yankees. It helps the Red Sox more than it does New York, mm-hmm. but I don't think it buries the Yankees. If the Yankees lose two more games this weekend, the Yankees are in big trouble.
They're spiraling out of control. I mean, watch this team over the last 2 weeks. Does this look like a team that is going to erase, be it a 5.5 game deficit or a 7.5 game deficit? I don't think so.
Okay,
and that's not based on last night. That's based on everything I've seen from them over the last few weeks.
Okay, but it can change quickly. Okay, so if you're a Red Sox fan, this is what I would caution you about. It can change quickly. And I want to get to a pivotal play in last night's game, too. We'll do that in just 1 second, but I do want to take a couple of your calls first. 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls up until 7. Craig is in Scituate. Craig, what do you got?
Hey, obviously the fourth inning was great. Steve Pierce was great. But Ian Kinsler's play up the middle, that ball is on the shortstop side of second base, and that was just an unbelievable play. So I'm just wondering, what do you think it's going to look like moving forward? Is Kinsler going to stay at second, and are Nunez and are they going to do a platoon at third? Like, what do you think it's going to look like?
Okay, so Craig, I think Kinsler is basically going to be your everyday second baseman. And I say basically because he's going to get days off too. Cora knows how to manage the roster and handle the players. He's not going to play every game between now and the end of the year. But as Dave Dombrowski said on the day they acquired him with the idea of him being the everyday second baseman. And so he and Cora have to be on the same page there, and I don't think that that is going to change. Matt in the car, I think, called during the Felger and Maz show. So, Matt, I'm going to ask you to stick to the Red Sox here. Apparently, you think they have some sort of X factor.
Hey, you guys are talking about an X factor probably about 2 weeks back now. So I was watching the game, and they mentioned that J.D. Martinez had been working with Jackie Bradley Jr., Mookie Betts, and Devers. So I'm just saying that J.D. Martinez is the X factor that's going to bring us deep into the playoffs, because not only does he contribute runs with his hitting, but he's also an absolute whiz behind the plate. They were saying the guy's got like 6 binders full of hitting information. And I mean, JBJ's hitting .287 in the last 14 games.
Yeah, so Matt, all I would tell you is don't put too much stock into the binders. Okay, it's nice, and I'm not saying that J.D. Martinez doesn't know how to hit, because he does. Whether or not Jackie Bradley can execute it is a different matter entirely. You know what I'd really like him to teach Jackie Bradley to do now that I think of it? Run the bases.
Thank you.
Because this play last night, you know what, I'll tell you what, we're going to play the play at third base that Bradley got caught in the rundown, and then Cora's comment from it. Take a good listen, especially to what Cora says.
Bradley and Betts aboard. They are shoehorned in to Fenway Park tonight. Comebacker. Bradley caught. Now he's racing home to throw the tag. He's safe. He got in there. He scored. How did he get in there? Wow.
He's a dead duck. right here.
Well, he's out by 7 feet.
Well, he got caught in no man's land there, and he made a decision. They threw behind him, and he took off. So he went from a bad base running play to a great slide, and brought energy to the stadium, to the dugout. He's such a good athlete that he reacted to it, and he made a decision, and he worked for us.
Okay, so two things, first of all. Number one, Bradley screwed up. He screwed up. You know what the problem was? And I say problem, the reality is the Yankees screwed up worse. They had him hung up between third and home. And the pitcher, that Jonathan Holder guy, whoever the hell he is, I'd never heard of him before, instead of running to Bradley and angling him back to third base, which is 101 when it comes to hanging up a guy in the middle of the bases. You know what he did? You heard Cora say it. He threw behind the runner, which is Cora's way of saying they made a mistake. So Bradley broke for the plate. And again, if you listen to Cora's words, it went from a bad base running play to a great slide. That's what he said. He didn't say great decision or anything else. He said great slide. That's what he said. And he spoke about Bradley's athleticism, which is a nice way of saying he's a good athlete because otherwise he'd have been a dead duck. He made a mistake and the Yankees screwed it up. So look, it was an exciting play, but the fact is, in the big leagues, a guy gets in a rundown, he should be thrown out. That's a mistake on the Yankees more than it is a credit to Bradley. But it also highlights one of the differences between these teams, which is the manager. And the athleticism of Bradley, and you heard Dennis Eckersley say it in the highlight right there, it was one of the many plays last night in which the Red Sox demonstrated some athleticism. We'll give you another one when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3-2. Line drive. Oh, play by Kinsler. A diving effort. Up the middle, Brock.
Oh my goodness.
I should say Kinsler with it.
Oh my God!
How did he make that play? Kinsler up the middle to snag it and fire. And look at the look on Pierce's face.
That is ridiculous.
All around game, that's what he's here for. Great at bat with man at third and less than two outs. Defensively, you saw what happened. Running the bases, you know, he took off right away. He's a good player. He start looking at Ian's career. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Again, Red Sox manager Alex Cora talking about Ian Kinsler. And he says, you look at Ian's career, it's a good one. And I don't disagree with that assessment talking about Kinsler. But it's not his career I'm interested in. It's the Kinsler of now, to me, that you have to be focused on. And the Kinsler of now isn't the player he used to be. I mean, his career or his average the last two seasons has hovered around, you know, 235, 240. So I don't think he's all that great an offensive player anymore. And one of the things I said to you was I just didn't see a huge upgrade there at second base, defensively or otherwise, and I wanted to watch Kinsler play defense before I made any sort of judgment. And my recollection is still, by the way, that he botches some routine plays. But, you know, again, that's over years of watching. Maybe that was the Kinsler of early in his career. I don't know what the Kinsler of now is like. That play last night, I'll say this, that play last night, the second one.
The one where he goes to his right?
The one that he went to his right to field the ground ball behind second base. And he was on the shortstop side of the bag. On that play, the Red Sox don't have another second baseman on the roster that can make that play, including Pedroia. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the little leader. He doesn't make that play either. Okay, so that range, ridiculous. And Kinsler still looks pretty athletic. And this, to me, is really what struck me about the Red Sox last night. And they've been this way all year. And maybe it's just because Devers was out of the lineup too. Kinsler was at second base. Swihart was behind the plate. The only two guys that you would not describe in their lineup as having some, you know, some athleticism, at least some, are Pierce and JD Martinez. Those guys are hitters. That's it. But everyone else, including Holt, who was filling in for Bogarts, athleticism. And if Bogart's on the field, you get athleticism there. And to me, it's one of the things about this Red Sox roster that you should really like. Boy, the athleticism. That fourth inning, man. I mean, that was a thing to behold. Jimmy, what inning did that remind you of again?
The first inning from a game against the Florida Marlins in 03.
It was June of 03. The Red Sox scored 14 runs in the first inning, 10 before a man was out.
It was a full hour worth of an inning.
Okay.
Johnny Damon went 3-for-3 in the first inning.
So as I pointed out to Jimmy, the Marlins, I think, lost the game 25-7, 26-7.
25-8.
25-8. Florida won the World Series, I guess.
You know what you're doing.
So look, I'm not telling you the Yankees are winning the World Series. I know that's where you're going, McCarthy.
So what, we can play back the audio?
I'm just telling you that it's one night. And again, the thing about baseball is there's a game every day. Sam's in Waltham. Sam, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, Matt? So I'm more talking about the asterisk. I appreciate the asterisk. I think it's definitely needed just because of the past two postseasons. You need to at least show something in the postseason, but I think we got one asterisk. We got one post off, one spoke off the asterisk for the Phillies, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So for the Yankees, I think they should be worth two spokes. So a couple reasons.
So Sam, before you go on, I just want to explain to people what you're talking about. Jim Murray, yeah, who obviously is on the Felger and Mads show, put an asterisk next to the Red Sox win total because he believes it's inflated from playing bad competition. And what he said was this week, every time they won a game against either the Phillies or the Yankees, he would remove one spoke of the asterisk. And if they won 5 out of 6 overall, he would erase the asterisk entirely. So right now, two spokes have been taken off. Go ahead.
All right. So two spokes have been taken off in your mind. I think it should be, well, you know what? It should be two because we lost against Philly that one night. So
exactly.
Let's say it's full. I think Yankees should be worth two. And I think it should be four off right now because tomorrow the Yankees are bringing up that scrub. And because they used him last night, that guy they were going to try on Sunday. And I think that it's an automatic win tomorrow. I think if they win tonight, it's an automatic sweep. What do you think?
Okay, so Sam, I'm not jumping that far ahead. These things have a way of changing quickly. Okay? They do. They change fast. So, was it a good start for the Red Sox last night? Of course it was. But tonight, the Yankees are sending their guy to the mound. And by the way, last night would have been the Chris Sale game. So, the fact that Sale is not pitching in this series doesn't hurt you. Or didn't hurt you. Brian Johnson filled in. You scored 15 runs. You won. So, Sale can no longer be used as an argument if the Red Sox split. That's out. The Sale game was Friday night. The Yankees tonight, the Yankees need this game. They do. And if I'm the Red Sox, I go for the kill here in the remaining three games of this series. You take two of them, you're in great shape. Andrews and Medford, go.
Hey, Maz. So I wanted to get to Cora after the game. I'm assuming you heard the comments. So we know that Kinsler played pretty good. We know that Pierce played really good. And it seems like Cora kind of made it a point to say, well, you know what, Dave Dombrowski gave us the right guys. And I'm wondering if that's kind of a conscious choice because a lot of people are kind of on the gloom and doom side of Dombrowski because, you know, of everything he's done with the roster, and people say he didn't make the right moves, and then, you know, this seems like, you know, the guys he brought in played so well, this seems like a great time to say, oh, well, look, Dave did the right thing.
So, Andrew, do you think it was an accident that Cora said it, or do you think he said it on purpose?
No, I think that was on purpose. I think somewhere in the Red Sox organization they said, look, this is the perfect time for us to say, look, Dave did exactly what he was supposed to do. We brought in the right guys. Look how well they played against the Yankees. I think that was absolutely on purpose.
Okay, so Andrew, I agree, too, that it was premeditated. I'm not sure that somebody in the PR department told him. Maybe they did. I don't rule that out. That's entirely possible. But you know what I think it is? I think it's Cora doing it on his own. Cora's no idiot. Cora knows. He played here. He knows what it's like, and he hears what people are saying and what they're talking about. And Dave Dombrowski's been under fire of late. At this trading deadline, Dombrowski took heat for not adding bullpen help, in my opinion, as well he should. And I still think that one could come back to bite them in the ass. So look, if you want to look at last night's game and celebrate it, you should. At the same time, what's the biggest weakness on the Red Sox? Matt McCarthy.
It's the bullpen.
Okay, and the late inning bullpen, particularly under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a pressure out to be recorded late in that game last night?
No.
Not a one. Not even close. So look, if the Red Sox can win every game in the postseason, 15-7, great. No problem. You won't need an eighth inning guy. You won't. But I doubt they're going to be able to do it that way.
Well, Dombrowski made his manager's job more difficult, too, because who is the defined guy in the eighth inning in the postseason? You could give me two or three names right off the top here, right? I mean, it could be Thornburg. It could be Barnes. I mean, you could go back to Kelly. I mean, who is the guy?
There isn't one.
Alex Cora needs to figure that out, and that's not fair to the manager. When you had an opportunity to get somebody like Jairus Familia, who went for nothing, he would have been your eighth inning guy. You go for it. Didn't do it.
No, so look, to me, this is the thing is, again, if you can win every game 15-7, all the power to you, then you'll make it through. You can have no pitching staff, for crying out loud, and win with those kinds of numbers offensively. Absolutely you can. Let's not take, in the postseason, you're going to have close games. Okay, you're going to have close games by default. And so when those games happen, are you going to be able to record the big outs late? Now, last night, I thought that Aaron Boone relied on his bullpen too much. He took CC Sabathia out of that game early and tried to get six innings out of his bullpen, which admittedly is loaded, but you can't push it that much and win. Mike's in a car. Mike, go.
Hey, Tony. Great point about the bullpen and the 15-7. To me, this is an age thing. I'm 49 and I don't know when or where it happened, even though they've won three times. I've turned into a bit of a negative Red Sox fan. But I'm not sold on this team for the following three reasons. You know, bullpen playoffs, David Price, and they have no one. I think they have zero players that are tested. But as far as the division goes, I don't think that, you know, it's a shoe-in if they take two out of three. Remember, they play Houston in New York, the last six games of the season. I just think this team's going to choke at some point. I hope I'm wrong. I'm just not sold on it. I don't like Dombrowski. I think he's a used car salesman. And, you know, the way he puts a spin on his moves, if you remember, Theo never did that. Theo went about his business and didn't listen to the noise. This guy's got his antennas up. I just think the end of the season is going to be a disaster.
So Mike, look, I don't know about a disaster. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. And when you say disaster, maybe they get swept in the division round. That would constitute a disaster, I suppose. Not I suppose. It would, given what they have at stake from the last 2 years and given the kind of regular season they're having now. Don't kid yourself on Theo either. Theo heard the noise. Theo heard it. He was good at ignoring it, but he heard it. And he didn't always ignore it. And I think the world to Theo, but he wasn't perfect. Maybe Dombrowski hears it more. So to me, the Dombrowski part of this story is legit. He's won one World Series in his career, and it was 21 years ago. And yet people still seem to mention him in the same breath with the great GMs in the game. And I just don't see it. And this cavalier attitude about the eighth inning and the bullpen, if he picks up a reliever in August, well, then clearly he doesn't believe what he's been selling us. So keep that in mind, too. Now, as it pertains to some of the other stuff, the series is more important in New York than it is for the Red Sox. Okay, and last night it was a good night for Dombrowski, and it wasn't just Ian Kinsler. It was Steve Pierce, who obviously had three home runs, six RBIs. It was a great night for Dombrowski. And Pierce was so good that he may be forcing the hand of the manager a little bit. We'll explain after Matt McCarthy gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Shot high and deep, left field. That is into the monster seats for a home run. That got out quick. Now it's a two-run game. It's a high. With his second of the ball game, totally out of Fenway. There's another one.
No.
High deep drive, left field to the monster seats. That's off the light standard. First third home run of the game.
Have a night.
We made the big move early in the season, and we decided to go with Mitch at first base. And it felt that we were one bat on a bench away from being really, really good offensively. Got to give credit to Dave. He moved quick. We saw something that we needed, and then he pulled the trigger, and he's here.
So again, there you hear Alex Cora saying it. Got to give credit to Dave. In that case, he's talking about Steve Pierce, obviously Dave Dombrowski, for acquiring Steve Pierce. And, you know, there is a connection there that if you think about in the longer term, right, that the Red Sox let Hanley Ramirez go, taking a right-handed bat out of their lineup. They had trouble against left-handed pitching there for a period of time. They clearly didn't think Hanley was going to fill in, and then there's some off-field stuff with Hanley and everything else, and we all know about the story and his being questioned or at the very least connected to someone who was arrested with fentanyl in the car and the whole nine yards, right? So I don't mean to say it was purely a baseball decision, but Steve Pierce, boy, Steve Pierce has made you forget about Hanley Ramirez pretty fast, hasn't he? 9-for-18 now against left-handed pitching with 5 extra base hits and a couple of homers. And last night, 3 home runs at Fenway Park. And Dave Dombrowski, his smaller moves here at this deadline, as much as we criticize him for not getting bullpen help, his smaller moves at this deadline and leading into it with starting with the Pierce move. Pierce, Eovaldi, Kinsler. So far, so good. Pierce has been good since they got him. Eovaldi's 1-for-1. And Kinsler had a hand in that game last night too and made, to me, an absolutely fabulous defensive play. So Red Sox fans must be feeling pretty good. And it's time to gloat because we'll bring in Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports now, who apparently has made the trip home for the weekend like one of the great front runners of all time. So, Jared, how you doing, bud?
Tony, it's good to hear from you. I remember the last time that we spoke, it was on different terms, but things have changed, Tony. Things have changed.
Okay, so do you feel like I do that if the Red Sox can take 2 of the remaining 3 games in this series that they'll have the division in their back pocket?
I'm happy with 3 or 4. I don't think they need to sweep the series.
No, I said 2 of the remaining 3 is what I said.
Oh, yeah. 3 or 4 is definitely where you want to be. But it does matter which of the next 2. Like, I think that they need to win the David Price start to make the actual statement, because, you know, not only is it the last game, but it's the Price start. You want to be able to have that sort of, you want to lead the series off on a positive note where David Price is the guy, in a postseason series that would get the ball in a game 2. And especially in a short series, you need Price to be able to beat the Yankees. Like, you need that to be a thing. So if they go on to win the next 2, that they lose on Sunday, that's probably seems a little ridiculous, but I still don't feel great about the whole situation.
Well, and you shouldn't, because again, the Price start's a big one. Price is a difference maker potentially, Jared. I mean, I think that's ultimately what you're saying. Do you, like me, have concerns about the Red Sox ability to beat good pitching, good teams rather?
No, I don't think that. I think it's overblown. I don't think that it's something that their record isn't as good as the Yankees against teams that are what's the winning percentage? It's like 505 or something. They skew it. It's not 500 or better. It's like 505 or better. They have around a 500 record against those teams. But you can look at it one of 2 ways. You can say, oh, they don't have a good record. They don't have a winning record against these teams. But that means that those teams don't have a winning record against the Red Sox either. So it's more of a roll of the dice than a bad omen to me.
Okay, and as you look at this team as constituted now, do you have faith in the bullpen? Are you disappointed that Dombrowski did not add bullpen help at the deadline?
Yeah, I wanted a lefty. I wanted Will Smith from the Giants, and I still think, not that name specifically, but there are a number of teams that over the next few weeks here, and even if you want to hone in on Will Smith specifically, let's do that for a second. Johnny Cueto, Tommy John surgery, out for the year, going to miss next year. If you're the Giants at the time, you know, there were 4 games back of a wild card, but they weren't considering how many teams were ahead of them. So I think over the next few weeks here, deals can still be made in the month of August, and I do think that the Red Sox will explore all options, even the Herrera deal that the Red Sox explored with the Nationals. They can go one of both ways. That team can sort of thrive off the negative attention that they've garnered over the last week or so here, and they can take off because they're talented enough to do that. Or they can implode from within, which we've seen the Red Sox do when they've had talented teams as well. So I still think that bullpen help is out there, and I still think that Dave Dombrowski is going to do something to bring in an arm. And I hope it's a lefty. But if it's not a lefty, if you still somehow get a right-handed reliever that can sort of make you feel better about that bridge to Craig Kimbrel in the 9th inning, then I'm happy with that too.
Okay, and again, we're speaking with Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports. One of the great Red Sox honks of all time, really, when you get right down to it.
Tony, yep. I'm one of the most fair, balanced, and unbiased baseball reporters on the beat today.
Oh, yeah, no, I know that. I mean, once you just following your Twitter feed, I gather that there's no cheerleading whatsoever that goes on there.
No. I mean, a guy can get excited about the local nine, but when it comes to reporting the facts, I stick to the facts.
Okay, so, Jared, let me just ask you a broader question then. Who is this series more about, the Red Sox or the Yankees?
I would say the Red Sox.
Why?
Because there's that.
It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. But why?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is because but coming into this series, the Red Sox were 4-5 against the Yankees. That's the team that you have to beat. They play the Astros, split that series in Houston. But the nine games that they played against the Yankees, six of those nine games were in Yankee Stadium. You come back to Fenway Park. These are games that you have to win. They played one, and they made a statement in that first game. And not only that, but they have to do it without Chris Sale, and they have to do it with David Price taking the ball. This is why it's more important for the Red Sox. They have so many things to prove in terms of people like you saying that, you know, they can't beat good teams. Well, they did that last night, and let's see what David Price can do on Sunday. That part of it remains to be seen, but in head-to-head competition, the Yankees are basically the Red Sox are the measuring stick, but if the Red Sox do have a measuring stick, it's the Yankees, and this is what you're going to see from them during the series.
See, Jared, I sometimes forget that you're young, which means that you lack perspective. When teams like this are going head-to-head, it's always about the team that's behind. Always, because they have more to lose. If the Yankees lose this series, it's over. If the Red Sox lose this series, and when I say it's over, I mean the race for the division. I don't think they're catching the Red Sox if they lose 3 out of 4, or worse.
I mean, if the Red Sox got swept and they're a game and a half up,
that's
not a good place you want to be in. I know that they're up, but that's not a place you want to be in. When you can step on the throat, and if you lose 4 straight to the Yankees, and you have a 5.5-game lead, which is a half a game shy of being the largest division lead that you've had all season long, that's a very bad thing, especially when there's 2 months remaining in the season. They needed to come into the series and prove themselves because to this point, there was a lot of what if. There was a lot of can they hang with the Yankees because in head-to-head competition, especially with Brian Cashman saying the same thing, the Yankees have quote-unquote done some damage against the Red Sox. But this was the team that you needed to prove yourself to because you look at the landscape of the entire league. The Red Sox don't have very many opportunities to prove what type of team they are because there are a lot of bad teams and they beat all those bad teams, to which the Yankees don't really do that often. So when you have your opportunities to play these quote-unquote good teams, you need to beat the good teams just as much as you need to beat the bad teams, and that's what they have in front of them.
That Cashman comment got under your skin a little bit then, huh? It really bothered you that Cashman said that.
No, not at all. I didn't make a t-shirt about it, and that's stored on basketballsports.com.
Yeah, no, of course. And so how do you feel overall about Dombrowski as a general manager? Did you feel like he had a good night last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dombrowski sort of, first impressions are very big in Boston. And I think, you know, you have the David Price thing was his first big move, and his approval rating isn't exactly 100% in this city. But you sort of look at everything else that he's done. Craig Kimbrell was a big deal. Chris Sale was a big deal. And, you know, everyone wants to talk about Chris Sale and all the prospect haul that you had to give up. The Red Sox, the only team in baseball right now without a top 100 prospect, but Yoan Moncada is not setting the world on fire right now.
It's early.
It is early, but for right now, you have a general manager, a president of baseball operation that is doing for you what a guy like Ben Cherington was maybe reluctant to do, and that's go for the big move, that's go for the kill. When you need a piece, he fills the void, and it's not just about what it was in the beginning, because the narrative before was anyone can give a guy $200 million. Anyone can trade the number one prospect in baseball to get an ace. Now you sort of look at the in-between moves. You look at a guy like Kinsler. You look at a Steve Pierce. Moves like that, those are what separate the guys that just write the blank checks and make the easy moves from the executives like Dave Dombrowski.
Well, okay, so they separate you if you win a World Series. Before we let you go, and let me just ask you this quickly, I want a fast answer, okay? And again, we're speaking with Jared Karabas of Barstool Sports. What do you think of Aaron Boone as a manager?
I think it's almost like he manages like a manager that's just never coached at any level before and has no experience managing a major league team.
Which is what he is.
Yeah, it's kind of that's the vibe that I get from him, Tony.
Okay, so there you go. So, Jared, you'll be sitting in your seats tonight in Section 10?
I will be here all weekend, Section 10, yes.
Okay, so there you go. Jared, listen, pleasure always. Take care.
Miss you, Tony.
All right, Jared Karabas, Barstool Sports, joining us by phone. He'll have his seats in Section 10 like he always does.
Well, sometimes he's been behind home plate.
Oh, so he's upgraded.
Those old Dennis Drinkwater seats.
Oh, so he's been upgraded.
Yes.
Yeah, not a man of the people anymore.
Yeah, Barstool's exploded. So Jared's going to
I would say Jared
on.
Has exploded.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz.